Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Just letting you guys know, seeing this coming across from Chandler Rome, J.P. Francis in Toronto is expected to join the Astros.
Over his wee. Eiffel Tower's back, baby.
The Eiffel Tower is back, baby. You can expect that with that very intriguing conversation about CJ and D'Amico. With 4 hours with your favorite afternoon drive show in all of Houston. The Drive. All right, you're listening to KLT AM, KLT FM, HD2 Houston and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, The Drive is.
Well, hey, boys.
And asked that man, who's your guy? Who's your guy on offense? I mean, D'Amico started looking for cigarettes. Hell, I ain't got.
Hey, they're in your sleeve, coach. They're rolled up in your sleeve,
who's
coach.
That, who's that guy that steps up? Boy, man, I can't find my Newports. Can't find them. He said, "Woo!" I'm telling you, we'll get into that. We're going to play D'Amico in full. I heard it. I couldn't get out of the car. We're going to play it in full in the 4 o'clock hour. If you missed it, we'll let you hear it for yourself on that. But it was really, 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 really good. Clint Sterner, Tyler Miller in the building, and this is The Drive, and it is a special day. It is a Texans Ticket Tuesday, baby.
Ooh. Got through it, bud. Good job, man.
Oh, God, man, I did it. It was once.
I was really leaning into Tape Drop Tuesday, and then all of a sudden he said Texans, and I said, "Oh, don't slip."
We'll get to the Tape Drop, but it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday, and that means today in the 5 o'clock hour. Correct, Tyler? Is that what we're doing? There you go. He makes the decisions. All right, Tyler. 5 o'clock hour. We will hook somebody up with a pair of tickets in the bullpen. In the bullpen. Make sure you're listening. You got a chance to be there. For Monday night's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we will give you a cue to call in the 5 o'clock hour, but make sure you're listening to win a pair of tickets in the book.
Also, while we're on the ticket front, I want to remind everybody at our Football Friday events that thanks to our Houston area Ford dealers and that we are giving away tickets to Texans games there as well. So not just today, we're also giving some away Friday. You got to be in attendance there. So plan on winning these tickets today in the 5 o'clock hour, as well as plan on coming and see us on Friday, and maybe you can win a pair of tickets right there too.
Yeah. Do your you got a chance to win tickets all up in this bad boy.
Hey, we're just giving it back to the people, man.
Trying to. That's what we're doing. All right, it is not only a Texans Ticket Tuesday, and for the first time this year, it is a Tape Drop Tuesday as Clint goes through the tape. He goes through the tape. And he takes a deep breath after watching the game on Sunday, doing the post game where he gives his immediate reaction, kind of laying down on it a little bit, and comes in on Monday and gives his reaction. And now he's had some time to watch the tape. And I'll hand it over to you. What did you see? What did you see? Was it better? Was it worse than what you thought? What did you see when you watched the tape?
Well, it was worse than I thought.
God!
D'Amico's got some real problems. D'Amico's got some real problems offensively. I mean, I gave the O-line a little bit of a pass yesterday, and the reality of it is that they didn't deserve that pass. I think there's some guys up there, Ron, that are some. I'll blame on the organization. Some just personally ain't it, and I'm just gonna be straight.
You're already there. It's 100%. Personally ain't it.
100%. I'm gonna tell you. Your center and your left guard, Jake Andrews, is obviously he's injured. Patterson. We're gonna get the same. What is it? Jake Andrews and.
Yeah.
And
I always call him David, his brother, but Jake Andrews and Jarrett Patterson.
Jarrett, I just kept calling him Jake. Jarrett Patterson and Jake Andrews. Ain't worried about them. You're gonna get the best that you can get out of them two right there at center. I'm not worried about center position. Either one of those, doesn't matter. Lakin Tomlinson, he's giving you everything he's got. Run game, pass game, he's giving you everything he's got. Titus Howard is doing the best that he can at right guard, but he's simply not a guard. I mean, Titus Howard at guard is an emergency. I have nobody else available. Move.
That was the plan, though.
Titus Howard, but you watch it. Just watching him again this year, like he does not stylistically. He's not a guard. He gets in trouble because he's a tackle playing guard. And he fights his ass off and does the best he can given that. But if you watch him, his skill set is not suited. He's not built to be. His skill set's not suited to be a guard. Can he emergency play guard? Yes. Does he survive down there? Yes. Does he show glimpses of doing some things decent? Yes. But he's a tackle. He is absolutely a tackle. You cannot play him at guard any longer. You can't do it. He's got to be your right tackle.
Oh, you're out on him. You don't want to. See that as
unless Juice anymore. Scruggs gets hurt, and you're just flat ass out of guards. I'm gonna get somewhere with this because it stems from somewhere else, right? And I'll go there right now. Cam Robinson can't play for this football team. Cam Robinson cannot. He's not one of your top two tackles. And there is a
big free agent guy.
I don't care. It doesn't matter. There is a level of quit in Cam Robinson. Now, I'm sure D'Amico and Nick and Cole Popovich will say, well, he's not ramped up. He was hurt most of training camp, and then he was ill. He was sick earlier in the week, and whatever. But there's a willingness to quit. That I saw last year, and we were all but promised to and guaranteed it wasn't going to be the case this year. There's a real play not to get hurt look to him on film. I mean, there's running plays where Nick Chubb is still on 2 feet fighting, and he has stood still for a second plus, just standing behind it and watching it as the defense jumps on him. Like there's no room for what D'Amico Ryans is trying to do offensively. There's no room for what Cam Robinson is bringing to the table. Now, if you really think he's not ramped up, he's out of shape, he's sick, he's hurt, then get his ass off to the side and get him in shape, right? He cannot play tackle in week two for the Houston Texans. It's got to be Titus Howard at right tackle. It's got to be Ariante Ursery at left tackle. You put Titus Howard at right tackle and let him do his thing. If he gets his ass beat, then you got a high dollar man that's a tackle getting his ass beat. You got to deal with it. But game plan wise, you put him at right tackle. And you let him ride, right? You put Juice Scruggs at right guard, and you hope like hell you second round pick in the second year after you developed him with your new scheme and your new revamped offensive line, he can play better. I don't care what center you put in the game. Lakin Tomlinson is good at guard, and Ariante Ursery is at left tackle, and you tell your offensive coordinator, I got a rookie at left tackle, I got
to
protect him.
So you seem to be very confused by the decision of, all right, Ed Ingram can't go, so we'll shift Cam Robinson to bring in Scruggs.
I'm not confused with it. I think it's, again, as I said yesterday, I think it's the organization's fault why we've watched this type of offensive line play for so long. It's not about the O-line coach. We've watched him shuffle 42 different offensive linemen through this thing. It's decisions like this that put you in a bad, bad spot. And, Cam is – he cannot play left tackle for this team right now. And
Juice has to be a better option at guard than him at left tackle.
Absolutely.
Because that's what it came down to.
Absolutely. 100%. So you look at this, based on the film, I'm telling you, Cam Robinson can't play in week two at left tackle. There's no way D'Amico Ryans can let him, whether it's because he's not healthy, he's not in shape, or because he just can't get it done. That letting given what you're trying to accomplish with this offense and what you preached all offseason, to turn that film on and watch Cam Robinson do what he does, that can't be, okay, that's what we're going to do at left tackle. It simply can't. There's got to be, you know, D'Amico talks about being physical and straining to finish and finishing every play. There's nothing about Cam that does that.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you know, there's a level of play there where, I mean, he's hanging on for dear life a good chunk of the time. And you might as well put your rookie over there and let him do that if that's going to be your problem, right? But you got to stay, there's got to be some kind of stability up front for Nick Caley, because it becomes unfair for Nick Caley, right? What happens is, again, if you put Titus Howard at right tackle, he's on an island, you let him play. Right, you put Juice Scruggs at right guard. Maybe you get to a little bit of a step back, but hey, man, you got to fight. You got to figure it out. Right, your center's good. Your left guard's good, and you got to tell Nick Caley, hey, man, I got a left tackle over there. It's up to you schematically to take care of him. Everything else is on the player, but schematically, I need you to help out that left tackle a little bit. This other jive, it ain't working up front. That to me, that's on the offensive side of the ball. That's where this thing starts. That is the initial takeaway when you watch this film offensively. Is like, the offensive line wasn't.
Because yesterday you said the line felt a lot, not a lot, but felt better than last year. Yeah, and now you've watched it.
Yeah.
Because when you say the physicality part, that's a lot of what you've said the last couple of years.
I don't think it's as just piss poor play up front.
They did better on stunts.
They did a little bit better. Yeah, they did a little bit better. But look, I mean, here's the deal. Here's the thing. Like, one of the sacks, right? Jarrett Patterson gets beat. Okay, but Jarrett Patterson's hanging on for dear life. He's finishing. He's straining. He's doing what D'Amico wants you to do. And CJ ran smooth into the guy. All CJ had to do was push up in the pocket and keep the play alive, and it was good.
Yeah, the commentator said something about it.
That was on the quarterback. That was on CJ. But could the center have played better? Yeah, sure. He could have done better. You know, the tackle, Ariante Ursary got his ass whipped a few times. Rookie, you expect it. Cam Robinson got beat multiple times and sometimes just got pushed straight back into the lap of the quarterback. And then there were some free runners that came through that are communication issues that CJ Stroud never even saw him coming. And then there's asking a running back, Woody Marks, to step up in the hole in the A gap and take on a backer, and he gets I mean, he's hanging on for dear life, but he gets beat. And so
you said that a lot.
It's not as chaotic of just getting like a some kind of game up front, just destroying the protection. But they're just not as talented. And I think what has to be done, what gives this team the best chance to play solid offensive football, is Cam Robinson's got to be on the sideline. And your offensive coordinator has to be put in a position where he worries about one guy, and that's Ariante Ursary. When it comes to protection, your left tackle needs a tight end hip-to-hip to him, or a tailback or a fullback to his side. That's it. And then everything else from there, I don't care what you do. I do get Nico the damn ball, but other than there, I don't care what you do from that point right there. That's got to happen. It's got to happen for Nick Caley. It's got to happen for C.J. Stroud. It's got to happen for Titus Howard. It's got to happen for Ariante Ursary. It has to. And now everything hinges on, can Juice Scruggs hold up? You got one guy out there trying to hold up instead of a rookie tackle, a tackle that seems disinterested in even being physical and finishing and you know, earning $12 to $14 million. Nick Caley can overcome one problem. He can't overcome two or three.
As a tape drop Tuesday, also on a Texans Ticket Tuesday, Clint went through the film. What did you see in terms of one of the other big differences with this offense, and that is C.J. Stroud getting more control of what's happening up there?
Kiss it goodbye. There's nothing in game one. There's nothing in game tape in game one that tells me that CJ. But it doesn't even, like, it would be one thing if they had. I would rather them have five delay of games with CJ Stroud standing at the line of scrimmage trying to figure out who the hell the mic is, and he's running the damn show. And because he's young and he's never done it, there's nothing from an operation standpoint that we watched in that game that tells me CJ Stroud has more command. Nothing.
Oh, you don't even think you didn't really see a difference. You thought it was. You didn't see a lot of changing of things.
No, and there was plenty of opportunity. I mean, there was probably two or three snaps where CJ, you could tell CJ up there, no, 52's Mike, like he's kind of maybe once or twice. I mean, hell, you look across the field at Matthew Stafford's doing it once or twice in a drive, if not three or four times in a drive. Like, he's got complete command. right? And not that I don't expect him to be Matthew Stafford, but I expect us to be moving in that direction. And that's just not the case. I think you can kiss that goodbye. C.J. Stroud was not the ball placement specialist that we've seen him be in the past. He call it rusty, call it because he didn't play in the preseason much, whatever you want to call it, because you sat over here and watched training camp all year and watched the defense beat the hell out of him and never got a clean picture to hit Nick Chubb in the flats wide ass open, right? I mean, there's two different throws in that game.
Dalton Schultz one?
Dalton Schultz one. There's a Nick Chubb one. Who was the other one? There was one more. I can't remember who it was. But they're just throws in the ocean. And here's the deal. I'm moving forward on the drive on Sports Radio 610. I want everybody out there. I'm going to be extremely critical of C.J. Stroud. And here's why. Because and fans – take it however you want. Again, I know the sensitive C.J. crowd
Team
out there.
Team macho.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I'll be that guy. Here's the deal. If you want the Texans to win a championship, C.J. Stroud cannot miss – Nick Chubb on a little out route on the left-hand side out of the backfield on first and 10, and now you end up in second and 10 instead of second and 4.
They can't afford it.
CJ can't afford it. You can't afford it. CJ, you know the back shoulder I was talking about to Nico Collins? It's a two-shell. You're throwing a back shoulder. By the way, it was thrown damn near in the stands. Not really, but in the out-of-bounds. Like, you watch that. Middle of field, safety split. Middle of field's wide open. You got Dalton Schultz on the outside leverage linebacker on an in route. Why are we throwing the ball away, really, over here instead of hitting Dalton Schultz on the
middle? He's wide open, CJ.
Like, CJ was not seeing things clearly. Let's put it to you that way. And he was not as accurate as this team needs him to be. This team needs – Ryan, I know we're up against this team. Actually, we're beyond it. This team needs CJ Stroud to be like the best ball placement specialist we've ever seen. This team needs C.J. Stroud to be Tom Brady cerebral and see every blitz. This team needs C.J. Stroud to be the number one communicator and get everything right.
So like we said Friday, he's now seeing this offense. He's going to have to be the thing that's like the fixture. He's going to have to be the thing that pulls it together.
What do I always tell you about when we have the conversation about Tom Brady? The thing about Tom Brady that we can't measure that I wish we could is what percentage of time was Tom Brady right? And I bet it's 98% in his career. He was never wrong, right? Never wrong. And that's how good CJ has to be if this offense is going to produce. Period, point blank. That's just the reality.
He's got to make up for the other deficiencies.
Absolutely. 100%.
And we're seeing that even more now.
100%. Yep. And the organization's got to help him. And what they did what they're doing with the offensive line is not fair. Yep.
All right, coming up, the Astros, they get back on the field today, and they are now two games ahead of the Mariners in the West at this point. They got the Blue Jays. Blue Jays have been hot as hell. Garcia, Alexander, Javier, they're going in this series, and this gives me a thought about a conversation we can have about the Astros. We'll do that coming.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. If you missed it, good first segment there as Clint went through the tape drop Tuesday. And remember, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday, so make sure you stay tuned for that. You can hear us. Do the cue to call in the 5 o'clock hour for your chance to win. Remember, coming up on Wednesday, Odyssey Houston Kids Read Radiothon is coming up on Wednesday. We're trying to get new books into the hands of kids in low-income homes in Houston. That's 79% of Houston kids. A $30 donation gives one child in Houston their own home library, six new books of their own. Text new books to 41444 on Wednesday to donate and help us help Houston kids. That's text new books to 41444 on Wednesday. Clint, the Astros, they were off yesterday after dropping that series to the Rangers, and now they head to Toronto to face a team that that will absolutely be in the playoffs, a team that they potentially could see in the postseason. Luis Garcia, Jason Alexander, Christian Javier, they're getting the ball. If the season ended today, Clint, they would face the team that they currently have a two-game lead over in the AL West. They would face and host the Seattle Mariners in a three-game wild card series, just like they hosted the Detroit Tigers in the wild card round here at, well, now the Daikin. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. I think one of these guys are the candidate, and maybe Eiffel Tower too. We'll see.
I'll see you in October.
But Luis Garcia. Jim. Luis Garcia, he gets the ball tonight. Jason Alexander behind him, and then Christian Javier. All three of them's ERAs are in the mid-fours. Alexander's probably thrown more than the rest. But who would be the guy in a three-game series right now if they played the Mariners? Who would be the guy that would get the third start if it came down to it?
I'm going Christian Javier.
That's where you are right now?
I'm going Christian Javier, yeah. Look, I think Jason Alexander's going to get game four for me. And Christian Javier's going to get game three. And Luis Garcia, I need to see a little bit more over the next 20 games, 19 games, however many there are. I need to see a little bit more out of him to make sure that he is that what we saw last time out was the real deal, and he's healthy and ready to rock and roll. So it could change. This is a very fluid situation. But right now, I'd give game three to Christian Javier. And a big part of that is, look, I mean, Christian has shown some signs of being tremendous since he's come back. We've seen some rough spots as well. But I think I would lean into Christian Javier's been there at this point. I think that the one thing I can say is that I don't feel like the moment's going to be too big for Christian Javier. And number two, I think he's got stuff that he can afford to not be perfect and get us a dub and get in and out of innings where I think Jason Alexander, you're going to have to get Jason's best stuff in order to, and I don't know if the lights are too bright and the stage is too big in that particular situation. So I'd feel more comfortable with Christian Javier. And Luis is coming now. Luis is coming.
Yeah. Luis and Christian Javier, they have experience pitching in the postseason. Jason Alexander doesn't. But Jason Alexander, you could argue, has pitched the best out of them all. But I think I'm with you. Someone texted in. If we're talking about this year, I don't know how you don't go with Jason Alexander. I think the experience factor is a big thing. And especially needing the game now. I know the last time that Christian Javier pitched in the postseason, it did not go well. But still, more times than not, he has been, I'd say, over the years, one of your more money pitchers. I mean, to be honest with you. He's got to come out of the bullpen or start in the postseason.
Well, too, I think for me, I'll be honest with you. I think it depends. Are we talking about a three game?
Yeah, three game.
I was thinking a longer series, but yeah. No, I answered that right. I'd go Javier. I don't. The fact that we're even having a conversation about Jason Alexander is a huge plus.
That he's
I remember asking Luke Morrow of like, hey man, do you think there's a chance he could get a start in the playoff? Hell no. I mean, Luke didn't say hell, but he was like, nah, ain't no way. No, I think there's a chance. Like, I think there's a, like, he's been really good. I think there's a chance he could get a start in the playoffs, and I think there's a chance that the team could be confident that he's gonna give us a chance to win a game. But right now, I got to go with the experience, and I got to go with the stuff. And I think Christian Javier has that by a mile on all these guys.
Text line coming in. I would go Hunter Brown, Javier, Alexander, Framber doesn't make the roster.
Yeah, I can't go there either. I'm mad at Framber too, but I can't go there.
Damn. Doesn't make the roster. Seven innings, three earned. His last out. Come on, y'all. Said he doesn't make not the rotation, the roster.
He strows and
his ass in, and even in the roster. All right, coming up, some news. We talked about the loss of Cade Stover and the injury news yesterday with the Texans. There's another injury to a starter. We'll tell you about that coming up next. And D'Amico Ryans, as he spoke to the media today, gives his explanation on the lack of involvement of Nico Collins. We'll see if this makes us feel better. Once we hear that, that's coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into the drive as we continue rolling through a big show. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we will let you hear from D'Amico. D'Amico spoke earlier to the media, and I think there was a lot there to look at. We'll cover his thoughts on Nico Collins here in just a second, but we'll play that for you to hear at 4:30 or 4:40, excuse me, and also a little real or fake, a little bit coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. 5 o'clock hour, your chance to win a pair of tickets on this Texans Ticket Tuesday, so make sure you stay with that. Clint, news we talked about yesterday with Cade Stover. He's out indefinitely. We heard D'Amico speak about that. The physicality he spoke of, that's something they're going to miss. They're going to have to upgrade their tight end room, he said. But
Ronnie, there's real quick, I don't mean to interrupt your point, but there is a perfect, and I'll try to get it out. I'll try to post it, but there's a perfect two-play sequence. It's one of the runs where runs of plays where Chubb was getting loose in between the tackles, you know. And there's a two-play sequence where I think they ran the same damn play. But he's kicking out Zero, the backside end, who had a hell of a game. Mm-hmm. And the first time he goes over there, I mean, he leans into him, Ron, and he gives it to him. And he leans up, Chubb leans on Chubb and ends up making the tackle 4 yards down the field, right? They're in the very, very same play the next time. And instead of that guy worrying about going and making the tackle, he's bracing for Cade Stover to hit his ass. And it's a perfect example of, like, if you're just a physical player, how the defense responds is they're bracing themselves and more worried about you hitting them than they are going to make a tackle and how it changes the game. Unfortunately, I say that knowing we're not going to get to see the guy play for the foreseeable future.
That's just it. D'Amico brought up his physicality today and announcing him being out for a while. He's going to miss some time. But other news, another starter, Clint, their starting center. We saw him walk off. Then it looked really rough because he was carted back, and that is Jake Andrews. Well, it's not as bad as maybe what was thought. It is a high ankle sprain for starting center Jake Andrews. Timetable for return is undetermined per league sources. Could have been worse. For now, Jarrett Patterson is the next man up for the foreseeable future. That's according to Aaron Wilson. So that is the latest there. And do you – clearly Jake Andrews and Jarrett Patterson were in a competition throughout the summer and throughout training camp. Do you get a sense that this is a big change from things? Obviously, we saw Titus Howard and Ursary being the tackles, as opposed to that being Cam Robinson and Ursary, looked completely different than maybe what we were seeing in training camp. Do you get the sense that this is going to be a big change, depending on how long Jarrett Patterson has to be
in? It wouldn't shock me if they didn't make it more difficult than it needs to be, but this is the one position where they've handled the roster, the structure, the roster construct, if you will. I think they've handled it right. Like, I'm not worried. You lose Jake Andrews, you got a center that's played a lot of football for you, that's played good football, that knows the offense, that is really the best next option. You plug him in and you move on. It's easy. It's very, very simple. You know, do the same thing at guard, where if Ed Ingram's not ready to play this week, then Juice Scruggs plays, and you've got the tackle situation that you have with Ursary and Titus Howard. This is not rocket science. I don't think they need to make it any more difficult than it is. Jarrett Patterson's your center, and Juice Scruggs is your emergency center. If you get to a point in week two that you've already lost two centers and now you got to move Juice over there, hey, then it's survival of the fittest. Just do what you got to do to get five guys up there.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's going to be a major drop off.
No, I don't think it should. I don't think it will be. I don't think it will be. I don't think it should be. You know, assuming they don't overthink this thing and try to put Juice Scruggs at center and Jarrett Patterson at guard or something crazy like that, then I think it's an easy fix, and I think the center position is fine. I think they've handled it well, and this should be an easy transition.
All right, so that is the latest there. High ankle sprain for starting center Jake Andrews. We'll see how long he is out. All right, D'Amico, as we said, spoke to the media. You'll hear that in full at 4:40. These were his comments about Nico Collins, and we talked about it yesterday. That was a big, big thing that jumped out with the offense, is them not being able to get the ball in his hands and allow him to be a big part of this game. Here was D'Amico in his thoughts with his star wide receiver, Nico Collins.
Throw it to Nico as many times as we can. Of course, that's everybody knows. That's a question everybody, you know, wants to answer. Of course, we want to get the ball to Nico. He's one of our best players. But offensively, I just think when you go back to the game on Sunday, we have so many plays where we're kind of playing behind the sticks and we're not doing things that that we're trained to do. We're not doing things conducive to staying on track and being able to run our offense. In that type of fashion, it's going to be hard, you know, to get the ball to a certain player here or there, right? Because you're second and 18, second and 10, third and long. Like, that's not where you want to operate as an offense. So we just got to come back this week, just do the things that we're coached to do, make sure we're staying on track offensively, making sure everybody's on the same page, and we're just putting ourselves in position to make positive plays. And when we have those positive plays, then it opens up the offense for us to be able to get the ball to whoever we want to get the ball to.
They're all fixable.
All right, we heard from this is the second time we've heard D'Amico. We heard from CJ after the game about Nico Collins. I cannot wait for Friday to hear what Nick Caley has to say about this situation, which I'm sure he is going to be asked about. When you heard the head coach talk about that, your thought?
Hate it.
Okay.
Hate it. It's rinse and repeat. It's rinse and repeat from last year.
And they say no.
We ended up in too much second and 18, so it's the players' fault. Penalties, it's the players' fault, right? We're behind the chain, so we get out of whack. We can't call what we want to call, so we can't even because the players can't execute and stay ahead of the chains is why your offensive coordinator didn't get Nico the touches that he needed. I think that should have been a 5-second cut. Get Nico the ball as many times as we can. Of course we want to do that. I'm not real sure why it didn't happen, but I can promise you that it ain't gonna happen this week. And let's move on. It's not a joke. It's not like here's it's one thing for D'Amico to say it, guys, but this is all joking aside. This is what got I think this is part of what got Bobby in trouble last year. If Nick Caley steps his ass up there, Nick, if you're listening, I need you to listen, man. If you step your ass up there when you talk to that media and your response to why did we not get Nico more touches in the first game is because we had penalties and we were behind the chains, because we gave up sacks and we were behind the chains, and because our offense, you know, we were just out of sync and out of rhythm, it ain't going to fly. It is a backhanded way of saying the players have to do better for Nico to get touches, and it's not going to fly. It's pouring gas on the fire, and I believe it is a bad approach to what should be an unacceptable, inexcusable reality that Nico Collins had one catch and two targets in the first half of last week's game. Like, I think it's
three catches, five total for the game.
Yeah, I mean, and look, and I'm going to tell you, I don't remember who it was. All due respect, somebody called in the last, in the postseason, I mean, the post-game press, post-game that Sean and I do, the post-game show. You're going to see, man, Nico was running wide open a bunch of, and there may have been a couple of times. But there wasn't enough times where Nico was running open for me to go, yeah, boy, this was just protection. Didn't allow CJ to get it to Nico. No, man, the plan was terrible as it relates to Nico getting touches.
When I listened to one of the comments that was made all off season with Nick Caley and this new offense is this offense allows you to get the ball in the players' hands and them doing what they do at their best. And what they do best.
Mm-hmm.
Just gets it in the players' hands.
Which is
hands.
The very least your offensive coordinator should do at the NFL level.
I would imagine with that thought process and with the confidence people had in the offseason with that, that is something that doesn't continue. Because that didn't happen in the game.
Stop being the dumpster fire.
They gotta figure out a way to do that. And, hell, you can force it.
Not only did it not happen in the game, Ron, but it's because now we're on to, okay, I believe that, yes, it didn't happen in the game. It was a bad situation. Now we're on to Monday and Tuesday, and how do the guys in a post-game presser and after you watch the film and everything, how does the head coach, how do you respond to that? And if it's going to be the same thing of rinse and repeat of we just got to execute better, and that's the answer to the obvious, the simple, stupid, obvious things of like Nico Collins getting touches and the O-line being put together better and the right guys on the field and being able to communicate and identify pressures, it can't be the guys have to just play better, right? I mean, it has to be very specific. Like CJ's got to see pressure better. CJ has to be so perfect. He's got to be able to throw the flat route to Nick Chubb in the flats on the money for a 6 yard gain. No, it doesn't sound like much, but it's extremely important, right? I mean, those kind of things, we can't already be shying away from just saying, "Nah, we got to get Nico the ball, man." Like, we got to be better than that, damn it. As coaches, we got to be better than that.
Yep.
Next question. It's that easy.
Coming up, D'Amico responded to the Stroud lollygagging comment. You don't want to miss what he had to say there. And interesting reaction and response to questions he was pressed on about leadership with the offense. We'll discuss that coming up next.